Hello everyone, welcome back to my podcast. My name is Rose Ramandi. In the past 10 days or a couple of weeks, I've been quiet, and because I have been working on a training that help you to ignite your prayer life. It's actually a training that I'm going to share with you all these secret or little things that I have seen from the Word of God and in throughout my experiences that made my prayer life is so exciting. You know, I know there are many people that they have been, you know, suffering, and they, you know, their prayer life have been suffering, and you know, they want to pray, they can, they go to the prayer and they don't know what to say, or they say what they think they say, and then it's finished and it gets boring. And because that prayer is not exciting, and you know, it's, and then you don't look forward to go back to it again the next day. And I've been there, and that has happened to me. But the Lord has taught me in the last 11 years, and mostly in the last 1 year, that how to draw closer and how to go deeper, not only just as a ritual, but actually to start experiencing Spirit every single time that you go to prayer. I don't know about you, but this is so exciting. I don't know if you have ever experienced a Spirit, and hopefully you have. And the moment you taste a little of the Spirit, then all of a sudden you want more. And then you go, you know, you pursue God more. And I realize over the years, coming across people, talking to people and Christians, I realize there are many people that they do not pray on a daily basis. And usually the concept of prayer is so boring for them. And sometimes it's even a burden to, you know, get up and go and do the, you know, the prayer. And actually, you know, people have told us that, you know, I haven't prayed for this many years, or I haven't prayed this, and I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. I don't know, like, why do we have to pray, and all those things, and all those questions are causing us not to draw closer. But from my personal experience, prayer has always been a part of my personal life and prayer. And honestly, I got to a point in my life that I don't understand how can someone actually be able to walk in the Spirit and maintain walking in the Spirit throughout the day if you don't have a consistent prayer. And I get it. It has been times that I had to push myself, and it has been times that I didn't go pray because I didn't feel like it, or it felt like a useless thing to do, because every time you go into the prayer, you feel like nothing is happening, right? But the Lord has taught me things that I can, you know, ignite my prayer time, that I can spice it up, and I can just bring that excitement into the prayer. So it's no longer going to be a, you know, like a ritual or something I have to do in my to-do list, but it's something that you're going to look forward to it. And you know, it becomes you part of your life. And after sometimes you realize that every time you're going to go into the prayer, you have so much encounters with Jesus, you don't want to get out of it, and you can't wait to get into the prayer again. And that's what I feel like the Lord has asked me in the last, you know, has asked me to start having a training on this. So we are going to have a free training soon, in the next couple of weeks, hopefully, as soon as I get things together. And I'm going to have that training for you. So you are going to discover that three secrets that you need to bring life back to your prayer time and make it so exciting and make it something that you look forward to. So if you want to hear about it, make sure that you are in our mailing list. Okay, if you are not in our mailing list, because usually that's the first place that I will let people know about things that we are doing. Okay, so if you are not in the mailing list, I want to encourage you, go to perfectedbyblood.com/sign-up and put your email address, name and email address there, submit press the submit button. And what happened is you'll get a free ebook from me. Okay. About the free ebook is not about prayer, but you get a free ebook about how to study the Bible. But then in the next couple of weeks, as soon as I'm ready, I'm going to send an email and I'm going to let you know, come for the free training. So this training is free, but it's going to be so valuable because those are the lessons that I learned over the past 11 years in consistent prayer time. The times that I was sick, I pushed myself. The times that I was, you know, excited. The times that I didn't feel like it. The times I didn't have time. And I learned how to overcome all those obstacles as I, you know, to be able to continue in that relationship with Jesus and go even deeper, far above and beyond what I was told. Honestly, things that I started experiencing in the prayer, I had never heard it before or from anyone, but I started like having encounters with Jesus in a radical way. Honestly, that's why I'm saying that I don't understand how can you continue walking in faith, or how can you overcome things if you don't immerse yourself in prayer? Because all the overcomings that we are talking about happens in prayer first. So hopefully, you know, you're gonna join for the free training and, you know, just start changing your life in the prayer. So that's why, make sure that you join our mailing list. And that's where I'll let you know when the training is available. And it's going to be live. I'll be live and I'll be answering your questions. And it's going to be so exciting because, you know, as when you see throughout the Bible, you see that people, the Spirit of God came upon some people, right? And those people started prophesying. So those prophets were given to in the times of kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, and they were like having a message or something for the kings. So I finished studying the Kings for Kings, First King, Second King, and Chronicles in the last 3 weeks. It took me 3 weeks to finish studying it one more time, because then you know why the prophets have been given to them. But the interesting part is these prophets, they all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon them. And because the Spirit comes upon them, now they can hear and they can see what God is showing them and give that message to people. So one of these people that the Spirit of the Lord came upon them is Jeremiah. So the prophet Jeremiah was young when the Lord called him. And the Lord tells Jeremiah, don't think that you are young, but I have put my word in your mouth, and you will pull down and you will, you know, build up and you will destroy and you will make up, you know, with the words that you have in your mouth. And the Lord comes and says to Jeremiah, okay, Jeremiah, what do you see? In Jeremiah chapter 1, we see that the Lord is basically leading Jeremiah and helping Jeremiah as a young prophet to start seeing the art of seeing. Okay, so he is the one who says, okay, what are you seeing? Let me show you something, and I want you to tell me what you see, and then I tell you if you saw this correctly or not. So do you see, like, if Jeremiah was seeing something physical with his physical eyes, then he was just, you know, there is no question, like, what do you see, Jeremiah? I see, like, a book, okay? So when I tell someone, okay, what is this? And somebody says, okay, this is the phone, then, you know, we all can see the same thing, and there is no correction, right? You can't really say, oh, no, this is not the phone. If God is showing Jeremiah and says, Jeremiah, what are you seeing? And Jeremiah says, I see a pot, for example. And God says, you have seen correctly. So God is showing Jeremiah how to be a prophet by seeing the things of the Spirit. So that's interesting, because when you study them, and you know, prophets and men of God, they come and they say to these people, thus says the Lord. Okay. But when you actually go and study a little, you realize that it wasn't like a voice that came. It could be, you know, the voice that they heard, but they saw most of the time. They saw the things that the Lord showed them, and through what they saw, the Lord gave a message to them, and they gave the message back. So basically, with Jeremiah, the Lord said, look, what do you see? And Jeremiah said, I see a pot. And the Lord says, I am ready. You saw correctly, and I am ready to perform my word. Okay, so the Lord showed a vision, show something to Jeremiah. And the Lord, and because Jeremiah saw it, the Lord could give the message. And because now the message is given and is spoken, what God said is going to happen. Did you see the process, how it was? First, you have to see. And once you see it, then there is a message for it. Or there is a prophecy, or there is a word for that thing. And once you hear that word, because you just saw it, and then you hear a message of it, now you are halfway through in this process of receiving it, and you're halfway through the process of actually happening to you. So the Lord said to Jeremiah, what do you see? Jeremiah saw, the Lord gave the message to Jeremiah, and he says, I'm ready to perform my word. And now, and then he does what he just told the prophet. So we read that in, I believe it's in, I'm not sure if it's in Isaiah or any other book that, or is it in Jeremiah, that says, okay, it's the Lord doesn't do anything unless he first reveals it to his servants, the prophet. I apologize if I quoted the wrong scriptures. Hopefully you go find it for yourself. But the Lord doesn't do anything unless he reveals that to his prophets. Did you just see what happened? The Lord doesn't do anything unless it is revealed to the prophet. But we looked at how the Lord reveals to the prophet. The Lord shows, the prophet sees, and then the prophet hears what they are seeing, hears the message or the word, what they are seeing, and then the Lord does it. So we have three steps, from seeing to hearing and to receiving of what the Lord is doing. So now the interesting part is if we go to Genesis chapter 13, that's the place that Abraham came out of his family, out of his father, and because the Lord told him that, you know, you gotta come out. And let me just read this verse. Actually, let's go back one chapter in Genesis chapter 12. And now it says, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth be blessed. So do you see that God told Abraham, get out of your family, come out of your family, and I will take you to a land that I will show you. Two things to consider here. Number one is that Abraham was supposed to get out of the families and get out of everything. And then later on, after finally, eventually, when he comes out of his family, he grabs Lot, a member of his family, and he brings Lot with himself. God didn't say, Abraham, get out of your family, but bring just a couple of friends and family with you. That's fine and that's okay. No, he gets Lot with him, and then in chapter 13 we see that they get into trouble. Lot is with Abraham, and there's a strife between Lot and Abraham's, you know, people. Or, you know, the between what, you know, the people from the family of Lot and the people from the family of Abraham, there is a strife between them. And all of a sudden, finally, Abraham says, you know, Lot, I think you gotta go. I think, you know, you choose wherever you want to go, and I'll go exactly opposite direction. Because all of a sudden, Abraham realizes that I have to be alone. I can't go with Lot in this journey that God has called me. And I'm going to show you a couple of things, interesting things there as we go to chapter 13. But that was number one. The number two here says, God says to Abraham that to the land that I will show you. The right translation, it should be this. The word I will show you is the word see. is the word Ra'a. It's the same word that is used to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1 when God said to Jeremiah, "What do you see?" Okay, do you see? That's the translation. So the translation should be here, to the land that you will see. Okay, so the word saw is like the action of seeing by someone, not the action of showing something to someone. Okay, so the better translation here is, okay, Abraham, get out of your family and father's house and to a land, and I'll take you to a land that you will see. Okay, so now Abraham, so that was number two. So Abraham gets out of family, but he brings Lot, and we are in chapter 13. And finally, Abraham tells Lot that, okay, you need to get out. So now look at verse 11 in Genesis chapter 13. It says, then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot injured east, and they separated from each other. Okay, but now, so Lot chose for himself. Did you pay attention here? But now, let's just go a few verses before that. Let me just read a few verses. Verse 8. So Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. So now Abraham is kind of begging Lot, please separate from me. If you take the left, I will go to the right. And if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw. Do you see? This is the word seeing again. So he saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. So do you see the land he picked? He saw a land. It was like the garden of the Lord. What garden of the Lord? The garden of the Lord in Genesis chapter 1, which had serpent in it. Okay, so now it says Lot chose for himself. He saw that it was good. It's a land. So he chose the land for himself. But now remember, God told Abraham about some kind of a land, okay? But this land wasn't the land that Abraham was supposed to choose. It was the land that God was supposed to show Abraham. And Abraham was supposed to see the land that God wanted him to see. So hopefully you're getting here. You're following me here that what's happening. Therefore, so Lot picked a land that he wanted to for himself, and he basically separated. So Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Now, that brings us to this verse here. Verse 14 says, and the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him. So do you see? The Lord appeared to Abraham. Abraham, come out of your household. And then you don't see Abraham obeyed. He came out, but he didn't just come out completely. He had Lot with him. And the Lord just waited until Lot is separated. So then God can show the land to Abraham. So now imagine, when Abraham came out of the house, he entered the land of Canaan. He entered the land with Lot, but God didn't come to say, Abraham, this is the land, as long as Lot was with Abraham. Because Lot, as a family member, like he brought Lot with himself, is like kind of he inherited whatever the father had. Abraham couldn't see the land the Lord wants to show him. Because Lot was there. He was busy fighting. He was busy striving. His mind wasn't free. He wasn't waiting upon the Lord. He was trying to figure out where to go, which direction to go. There was a fight between Abraham and Lot families. Oh, this is my place. This is my land. And then they increased. They couldn't stay together. And all those things are happening. Do you see why God told Abraham, come out completely? because he had to believe. He had to be, you know, looking for what God wants to show him. As long as you are busy holding on to your old tradition, holding on to your father's, you know, the physical Adamic life that you were busy with, you can't really see what God is offering you. You have to get out of it. You have to cut yourself from all the distractions. You have to cut yourself from, you have to come out of everything that Adam was trying to give you. And then when you get yourself out of all those distractions, you will be able to see what God is showing you. That's one of the things I'm going to talk to you in this training I told you about, the prayer, that how to cut all those distractions, you know, like Abraham. So the story of Abraham coming out of his family is just a symbolic story for you and I today, to how to get ourselves out of that busyness of life, out of everything we are busy every day, and get into a place that we can see what God is showing us. We don't have to leave our families like Abraham. This is the spiritual message, how you could just, you know, get yourself out of that busyness and like the life in order to be able to see what the Lord is showing you. And I want to show you how important it is. Look at verse 14 again in Genesis chapter 13. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants. That's interesting. It says, okay, Abraham, you know what? Now I want you to lift up your eyes, first of all. That's number one. Lift up your eyes. Okay, now imagine you're standing, your head's down. What do you see? You're just going to see about 1 meter, like a few feet around you, and that's it. Right? So if you stand and you just look down, you just see a few feet just around you, and that's it. That's the land you're going to see, okay? But now God is telling Abraham, you know what? Lift up your eyes. I want you to lift your eyes and see as far as your eyes can see. All right? To see to the north, to the south, to the west, to the east. Okay, I want you to see, and I give to you what your eyes are seeing. So I think this is interesting. Let me read it again. Verse 15 says, for all the land which you see, I give to you. So I give what your eyes are seeing. Did you just see? I give to you what your eyes are seeing. That's why I don't want you to see only a few feet around yourself. I want you to lift up your eyes and see as far as you can see, because as far as you see, then I'll give it to you. Now, let me just put it in the bracket to see what the Lord says. If you will receive from me as much as you see. Now, pause here for a minute. I will give you as much as you see, as far as you see. You will receive things in the amount of what you see. If your eyes are down and you're just going to see a few feet around you, that's what you're going to get. But God doesn't want you to get that. God wants you to get this north, the east, the west, you know, this amazing, as far as your eyes can see. He wants to give you as much as he wants, but you have to first see. Remember, let's go back to a story of Jeremiah. So in Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah, what do you see? Why? Because God wants to give something to Jeremiah. What is it that God wants to give to Jeremiah? I am ready to perform my word through your mouth. But before I can do that, you have to see it. and then I'll give it. You have to see the what I'm about to give you, and then I'll give it to you, and then you receive it. Now, here's the thing. Let me just put it in our own language of daily things so we can understand it. If you don't know what's your right, you're not going to go after it and you're not going to get it. Simple as that. In the life that we are living, if you don't see what is your right, you won't have it. You won't go get it. You won't fight to keep it. Now, you can just think about it a little bit for yourself and give yourself a few examples so this can stick to your mind throughout the day. If you don't see what's yours, you won't have it and you won't be able to keep it. So if God told Abraham, you know what, this land, it's yours. See it. I want you to see this first. If you don't see it, then you're going to go get busy with Lot. Then you're going to get striving with Lot. You're going to go fighting and debating, and you're going to be busy with your family member stuff. And you're not going to see what I'm about to show you. So I want you to get out of it and lift up your eyes and see what I want to show you. So now the point I wanted to show here is this, that you get as far as you see. Okay, so that's why we are now gonna rise up our eyes so we can see something greater, something so powerful, something above and beyond our daily lives. Because, you know, as long as you're busy with family, you're busy with, God tells Abraham, basically, you're in your family, in your household, in your land, your eyes are on those. You see those things. You see that little land, and you see in Abraham and Lot, they got into debate and argument. Do you know why? Let me show you here. So this is so interesting. So it says that Abraham was very rich in livestock. This is verse 2 in Genesis chapter 3. And in silver and in gold, and he went in his journey. So do you see, Abraham was rich. So in silver and gold. So I just want to put something in bracket for those of you who wants to just do your own study. Silver and gold is the symbol. This is the symbolic language of the, one of the meanings of silver and gold is that faith, that richness. Abraham left his family because he believed God. So he was rich in believing God. Look at that. Verse 3 says, And he went on a journey from the south as far as the Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Look at verse 5. It says, Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. So the Lot was kind of rich too, but not as much as Abraham, but he had stuff too. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. Do you see? The possession of Abraham and possession of Lot, they couldn't dwell together in one land. So do you see? You are busy with all the distractions, you're busy with all these things that, you know, this physical life is offering, and, you know, you can, and then what happens is the land is too small for you, okay? And then there's a strife, and then Lot go. Look at verse 7, it says, and then there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and Lot's livestock. So do you see what happened? So when you are busy and, you know, distracted, you can't lift up your eyes and see as far as your eye sees. You can't see what the Lord is showing you. You're just busy in that little land, in little life of yours that you think it is, and all it's happening in this, it's happening a strife. You're struggling, you're strifing with things you carried for yourself. You heard the voice of God. You followed it, but all of a sudden you don't see that fulfillment. You don't see the promise of God fulfilled. And then what happens is you're like, okay, now what's going on? You're struggling, you're trying to get things over, and now you just have to see the problem is you carried Lot with you. You heard God, you followed God, but you carried something from the old with you that is not letting you to lift up your eyes and see above and beyond what's happening right there. Now, I want to show you something very interesting. You know, I could finish this teaching here, but I want to show you something really awesome here. So look at that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Look at verse, my point is to get to verse 9, but we have to see what the context is here, okay? Verse 6 says, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6, but one testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hand. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Whose feet? His feet. Who is this his? It's a man. So you have put all things in subjection under man's feet. It doesn't say under Jesus' feet or anyone's feet or God's feet. It says under man's feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. So do you see? It says, okay, God, when God created everything, he put everything in subjection to man. Okay? And there's nothing that he made that it's not in subjection to man. But now, the question is like, okay, what's going on? But now, we do not yet see all things put under him, the man. So we don't see all things to be in subjection to us. So do you see? We don't see things to put under us. So the word see here, it's actually the word hearing. It's take heed. Jesus said many times, take heed. So the correct translation it should be, but now we do not see all things take heed to us to be put under us, basically. Okay? So we don't see everything listening to us. All right? So because if things were listening to us, then we could easily command and, you know, things could be under our feet. Jesus went around healing the sick. How? He talked to the sick. He talked to the sickness, and the sickness listened to Jesus. So that's why everything was under his feet. But now, here's my point. I brought you here to show you this verse. But we see Jesus. Okay, if you track this word see all the way to the Old Testament through the quotes that is used through the New Testament, that's the same word as we are talking in Jeremiah. But we see Jesus. So do you see, God wants to lift up our eyes to see Jesus. To Abraham, he said, Abraham, look, lift up your eyes and see far north, west, south, east, and I'm going to give all that to you. As far as your eyes sees, I'll give it to you. And here says, we see Jesus. So do you see, as much as you can see in Jesus, then you can receive it. First of all, you have to see Jesus. You have to see Jesus in order to receive it. But if you're busy and distracted with stuff in life, how would you, like Abraham, lift up your eyes and see? You're going to look down. You're going to see your leader. You're going to see yourself. You're going to see the life you have, and you're going to strive, and you're going to struggle. Okay? But here says, but see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. And he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. So do you see, God wants us to, like Abraham, to get out of our families, lands, symbolically I'm talking about, distractions of the life, the busyness of the life and everything, go into a room, cut ourselves from all the distractions and get free from all those stuff, lift up our eyes and look and see Jesus. Now, something interesting. So let me show you this, and I'm going to finish with power this episode of my podcast. So now I want you to go to Ephesians Okay, so I don't want to. Let me see if I want to go Ephesians 3 first, or let me see which one it is. Wow, I can. I saw this thing, something really good here. It's so powerful. Okay, so do you remember? Let me just then say it and then we'll go. So, do you remember that Paul is praying in Ephesians and he said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding, maybe we should go and read it. Okay. Now, verse 14 in Ephesians 3. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart. Now, look at that. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be, look at this, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height. Did you just see? Width, length, depth, and height of what? Of Christ. He was just talking about the Christ dwelling you. And then he says, I am just praying that the Father of glory may strengthen you in this. You know, he gives you the spirit of revelation. Before, he was talking about the spirit of revelation to open up your eyes, to eyes of your understanding. To what happens so that you can see the Christ that dwell in you, that you can see your eyes can be lifted up to see the width, the length, the depth, and height. God told Abraham, Abraham, lift up your eyes, see the north, the south, the east, and the west. Do you see the directions? Now here Paul is using, you can see the width of Christ, the length of Christ, the depth of Christ, and the height of Christ. So to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So now the spirit of revelation is given to us so that we can lift up our eyes and we can see as far as north. I don't know, let's call it height. We can see as far as the east. Let's call it width. We can see as far as the west. Let's call it length. We can see as far as south. Let's call it depth. That is in Christ. And he will give you that fullness of God. God wants us to have the fullness. But did you see the step? What do you see? Jeremiah, what do you see? Rose, what do you see? Put your name there. What do you see? Do you see the depth of Christ? As far as you can see the depth of Christ, that much you are going to receive. And God says, I don't want you to receive half of it. I want you to receive all of it. So, but you have to see it first. You have to rise up your eyes. You have to get yourself cut off from all the distraction of the life. And let me show you what is yours, and then I will be able to perform it, and then I will be able to give it, because God is not doing anything unless his prophets first see and his prophets first understand the message that they are seeing, and then God will give that and you will receive it. All right, bless you guys. It's been like 38 minutes here, so don't forget to join our mailing list. And this is one of the things I'm going to talk about in this free training that I'm going to have, to learn to bring that excitement back in our prayer life and start seeing what God is showing us. Bless you. I'll talk to you soon.